Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's my rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband.
Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
It's fun. I was just so happy that I wasn't for the first time. I won't get in 10:59 because I thought you guys were streaming like at 11 exactly, and I'm like running.
My mic's not even on, you psycho. Oof. This has been a fucking shit show.
That anchor management's coming in good.
It
buddy.
Is though, right?
I'm coming in hot.
Am I not feeling good right now?
Oh yeah, this is a different
Hold on.
Lose.
Let's just turn it up a little. It's a great tune. The laws of gravity. I'm a racing car, passing by like Lady Godiva. Hell yeah. There's a movie coming out about him now, right? Or is it out already?
It's been out.
Ah. Well, fuck it. I'm not that excited about it, I guess. I was going to pretend. I'm like, I'm really excited about that movie. Welcome to the show. Real Ass Podcast Live, Monday show. If you're watching live, sorry we're a little late. Technical difficulties, it happens. But I'm happy. Right, Shannon? Shannon's great.
Yes, you've actually been really good about all this stuff that happened to
Yes,
me.
I have.
Really? Because when I walked in, you said I was dead to you.
You are dead to me, Shane, and I'll tell you why.
What happened? Okay,
turn the volume down a little bit, Shannon. Well, let's introduce our guest. Shane Gillis is here. Very excited to have you back. Fans love you.
Oh, nice. Thanks, man.
Very very nice to have you. And for the first time ever, this is kind of a history-making day today. A little bit. Come on, doggy. Let's be real about this. My new friend, former enemy, Corinne Fisher, in studio, guys. Come on.
Hi.
Nobody
thank
ever
you.
Saw this day coming.
No one did, even yeah. including myself.
It's true. I'm glad we were able to... I was going to say put our differences aside. Let's just fucking get real. I'm glad we're able to be adults. Who gives a shit anymore?
Yeah, no, that we're still very different.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I like you yet.
You do.
No, I don't know. And I also I don't think you like me, but it's okay.
I do like you.
It's
I've always weirdly liked you. I swear to God. I've said this. This is me being consistent. Zach, what have I always said? I'm not making this up.
I've always weirdly liked you.
It's the podcast equivalent of pulling your pigtails.
Okay. Got it.
I have always liked you. I've always said you were funny.
Thank
Even
you.
When we were in the middle of the fucking thing, I watched one of your sketches. You were doing a, it's like mocking YouTube stars thing.
Oh,
you were
Gina
doing.
Sprinkle.
Yes.
My alter ego.
Yes, I watched that Thank and you. I was like, oh, this bitch is funny. And
well,
I remember.
You shouldn't have said it that way.
Because I didn't want her to be funny. I didn't want her
Don't
to be.
Don't bitch shame, dude.
What? I'm a bitch shaming.
You just bitch.
Dougie, I'm calling her a bitch in a good way, like an endearing Puerto Rican.
It didn't bother me. It's okay. See? I like to use it in my stand-up, and it also bothers like people who come to see me, but everything bothers them. Someone
yeah.
walked out this weekend because I made a Demi Lovato joke.
No.
So, yes.
Well, that's almost like the problem with doing... I don't want to say... You don't do agenda-driven comedy, but your podcast has sort of become like... You know, you guys are feminists, and you have a fan base that, you know, they live in a world where they're, you know... They're looking for things to kind of be offended about a lot of the time.
You're being so careful with your words. Yeah, no, it's fine. I tell them they're like they're virtuous millennials and they need to cut it out. Like,
yeah.
I'm a millennial too, but I'm like an old one, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, and you guys dealt with some shit, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But I want to get into this show today. Zach D'Amico's here as always.
Hey, buddy.
What do we got to plug really quick? Let's plug some shit really quick. Shane, real quick, what do you got to plug? You piece of shit, walking in late.
Just Matt and Shane's Secret Podcast.
Yeah,
that's it.
Solid. And Corinne.
Guys, we fucked, and then I have another podcast with Rosebud Baker called Two Less Lonely Girls. Not really great for your demographic. It's an adult podcast for Justin Bieber fans.
That's okay. That's not a problem.
If there's anyone like who's a closeted Belieber who's listening, Wait, it's a safe space.
Is it really that sort of? I never knew that's what the podcast was about. I thought it was you guys just being funny, but you guys are actually
no. That's the thing. That's why we have to clarify that it's an unironic podcast for adult Justin Bieber fans. We met Bieber, guys. I'm friends with Carl Lentz now. I mean, it's going pretty far.
You met Bieber?
Yeah.
Are you a fan of him? As in, you like his music and you would like to have sex with him.
The first one, yes. The second one, absolutely not.
You wouldn't want to have sex. You wouldn't have sex with Justin Bieber.
No, Rosebud, it does, but I don't.
Correct. You wouldn't.
No, seriously. Like, I honestly think that's disgusting. I don't like. He's like way younger than me. I'm 33 years old. That's repulsive.
What?
Guys are very different than women. Yeah. That's, you guys, you're right. You know what? Listen to guys we fucked. They've been right the whole time.
He's younger. Like 20,
ew.
He's like 24 years. But that's. It is different though. A 24 year old. Like that's. Like my little brother is that.
First of all,
I fucked a 23 year old this morning, dude.
You fucked 23 year old this morning.
Oh, is that girl that you've been bragging about for weeks and weeks?
Yeah.
Thank you for your...
I did a show with you like 2 months ago, and I heard about this girl.
Yeah, because Shane, you understand, Shane's not... When you're as ugly as Shane, and you look down... And you see a beautiful young woman.
You're not ugly. I think you're just regular looking. But you're super funny. So that doesn't surprise me that he gets a hot tail.
Yeah, but it surprises himself. It doesn't surprise women because women are into funny dudes.
Yeah.
But he surprises himself because when you grow up, being funny, as much as they want to tell you it's like a thing, it doesn't really attract women that are young. When you're young, when you're 22, nobody's like, I want a funny guy.
Right.
They kind of, but not really. Okay. It's not doing the same thing. When you're a professional comedian, it's a different story. Because Shane in high school wasn't pulling fucking hot puss.
You don't know that, dude. He was the captain of the football team, son.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Shut up. You're
pulling them into a closet.
Division I offensive lineman, baby.
Really? Oh, D1. My goodness.
No.
Yeah.
You're a pussy.
Nah.
How
I was a pussy. When I got there, I quit.
How are you so weak physically and you were the captain of the football team?
I'm not weak physically. Give it.
Oh, that actually was rock hard, honestly.
Was it?
I was surprised.
For the audio listeners.
Wow. I'm flexing, bragging about fucking this morning.
I mean, this is...
Wow. I'm late. This is a real dude.
It's impressive, though, that you have that much muscle, but you made it look like fat.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, how did that happen?
If I would have pictured Shane in high school, it would not be captain of the football team. It would be like... Just like nerdy, lonely, like
what?
Like you wouldn't even get like you play Magic the Gathering, but by yourself, like you can't even get friends to do it with you.
Fuck out of the kids who played Magic.
No,
yeah, dude,
they beat that you kind up. Of person.
No, I don't know Shane that well, but he's a nerd to me.
I don't know him that well either.
I don't. He doesn't read Ned like to me. That. I get charming oaf.
Charming oaf. That's my description.
I said charming.
Listen, Shane. Here's why I'm mad at you. You showed up late to my fucking podcast. Not only late, a half an hour late. That's a long fucking time, doggy.
Yeah.
It's a big deal here. It's a big show.
I felt bad
here.
About it.
What happened?
I thought driving from Philly this morning would be a decent idea.
So you drove from Philly just for the show?
Well, I had to come back to New York this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was, here's the thing.
The truck broke down in the Holland Tunnel.
Shannon, did you tell Shane that we were also running late with the stream?
No.
No.
Shannon, I'm giving you a raise. I really mean this. You're getting a raise because that is the fucking perfect type of it's a beautiful thing because Shane was probably really upset trying to get here, speeding, breaking laws, doing whatever he had to do to get here, very nervous, and we couldn't even stream until after you walked in the door. Our stream was broken. So you weren't even really late.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that Shannon still put that type of pressure on you and didn't have the respect for you to tell you that, hey, you know what? Take your time. We're not ready to go yet.
Yeah. I parked in a garage. It's going to be like $40.
Fuck.
I mean, look, we would have been ready if you didn't park in that garage.
Dude, I walked in and everyone was real serious because I guess the technical difficulties made everyone upset.
I
thought everyone was upset with me when I walked in. I was like, God damn, dude, they take this serious. You guys could have fucking started without me.
The whole fucking staff.
Everyone was real long face. I was like, damn, dude. I thought they would just start without me.
That's just the weight of another week of working here.
Yeah,
that's just another Monday where they woke up and they're like, I work at a goddamn podcast studio.
That's awesome. They love their job. You shut your fucking face, Zach. It's the fucking number one podcast studio in the Northeast.
What?
Yeah, you heard me.
Yo, shout out Compound Media. What up, baby?
All right, so look, we have a really, really great show planned today. There's a lot of shit going on in the world, okay? First of all, what are we up against today, Shannon? I didn't finish the plugs. Holy shit. Time out. What are you plugging, Zach?
Twitter, Instagram, Zach is not funny. Every Friday at midnight here on Gas Digital, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, comedians watching horror movies.
That's fucking great, dude. That's great. What's up this week?
Troll 2 with me and the High Society Radio guys.
Fuck yeah. Very nice. Yeah, guys, my tour's been going great. Thank you, Washington, D.C. 2 sold-out shows at the Improv on Friday night. So thank you for everyone that came out. A few more cities coming up before I film my special. December 9th, tickets are going on sale this Friday. the 23rd, Black Friday. So you can get tickets for Luis J. Gomez Presents Luis J. Gomez live in New York City from the Cutting Room on December 9th. Tickets will be free. I'm going to post that link, I think, on Wednesday. I think I'll be able to get them at Merch Pump. Regardless, I got Houston coming up this Friday. Black Friday, one show only, Houston, 8 p.m. at the Secret Group. Motherfuckers, come out. Listen to me. I'm telling you right now, I've had like a week to promote this show. If you guys don't show up in Houston, you're dead to me. If you live within a five-hour radius of that fucking place and you don't show up in Houston, I'm telling you right now, don't fucking look at me. Just know deep down inside I'm wishing for your death, so you shouldn't be my fucking fan or friend. Understand that. That's the fucking truth, okay? But if you do come out in Houston, I promise you right now, you're going to get the fucking show of your life. Kim Congdon's coming down there as well. Special guest Kimberly Congdon, who's been fucking killing it on the road. Also, I got Portland coming up next week, the 29th and the 30th, Portland, Oregon. Then I got, yeah, it's not up there, but I'm going to have San Francisco on the 3rd. The 5th is going to be the Comedy Store, the Belly Room. I'm running my hour there, and then I'm going to end it all on the 7th in Denver. Luis J. Gomez Presents, LuisJGomez.com is the website. Luis J. Gomez Presents, LuisJGomez.com is the website. Grab your tickets right now. Come out. Support this fucking tour. Denver, I don't have the venue announced yet, but I'm telling you right now, we're coming on the 7th. It's a Friday night. We're talking to a couple places. We're ending the whole tour there. That's where Infinite CBD is. They're the sponsor for this whole thing, and they're fucking awesome. So go support Infinite CBD as well. I think they're doing a crazy Black Friday sale for 40% off. So go do it. All right. Regardless. Shannon, what are we up against?
The Gettysburg Address.
That was signed? What is that? I don't even know what that is.
That's
Shut up, Corinne. What is the Gettysburg Address? Don't laugh at me.
It's Lincoln's speech.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Commemorating the hallowed ground.
This girl's fucking smart. That was
20 minutes ago, you didn't know our address.
I paid attention in sixth grade, Lewis.
So did I, but the problem is I've smoked so much weed since then that it is sort of, every one of those memories are out of my head. I don't know what anything is.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what Gettysburg Address could have never guessed. I should have guessed it. That's when it was signed, or you read it?
No, you don't sign it. It was an address.
Well, an address, yeah.
He gave a speech.
That's where he lived. Okay.
The cemetery in Gettysburg, and he was like, I'm going to fucking bless this ground, but the men that died here already did it.
Is that
There's
what
nothing
it's
I can say that's gonna.
Is that what it's about?
Yeah, it's about how fucking.
You
yeah,
know what you're talking about. You guys,
I do. I grew up
football.
I grew
you
up.
Don't know what the fuck
next to Gettysburg.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you drove in from almost Gettysburg today, so.
If you would have said where's Gettysburg, I would have guessed Deep South.
Really?
Deep South.
No.
Yeah. Doesn't it sound like Gettysburg, Alabama?
Incorrect.
All right, guys, you learn something new every single day. This is the thing about this show. What we do for our fans is not like, I get it. You guys do funny podcasts and you guys are helping women fucking get over their fucking whatever they do.
You guys guess historical facts?
No, we teach.
That's literally a segment.
I was like, what's the...
I mean, all right, guys, you know what? Time for the Guess the News Historical Fact Edition. Let's do it, guys. Come on.
It's time for another edition of Guess the News.
I have to know more information. I shouldn't have read just this headline. From the headlines that I've read, this man is innocent. He is the victim.
Man, these guys don't know shit.
So, yeah, let's guess some historical facts. I don't know. Pull up some historical things that I should know. Some things that we should. And I want to see who knows more about history. Because right now, Corinne, first place. I think that Shane, whatever he said, I think he made it up, sort of, and he said it in a confident way.
It's the four-score speech.
Everyone knows that part.
Yeah.
Once you said Lincoln's speech, I would have said, yeah, four scores and fucking 30 shores.
I don't know. I can't believe I was joking when I said that you guessed historical facts, and then that's an actual segment on your show.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
What years do you think the Civil War happened? If you had to guess, no help.
If I had to guess. It's a great question right here. If I had to guess, the Civil War happened 1871 to 1878.
Close. You're like a decade off.
Decade. That's only 10 years.
Yeah, all right. You're getting decades.
Two questions.
Yeah. That's about a score and a shore away.
I nailed decade. I say if I come that close, that counts.
That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 1860s. Yeah.
How many years is a score?
Four score. Oof. Hmm. I didn't even know that's what that was. That's a time measurement?
I don't know either. Now I want to know.
Corinne, how many years is the score?
Numbers I can't do.
Dude,
sorry.
If you know score, I will truly...
So it was four
scores.
You can
walk in late every time we do a show. You fucking
from
tell
the Gettysburg Address, he was talking about the Constitution when the country was founded. So from 1866 to 17... 79, 76.
But what is four scores?
Four scores
mean?
might be 25 years, 20 years.
20 years? Mm. It's 20 years okay. is a score.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, Shane. I don't know why I'm picking on Shane today. He came in late. I feel like he's
trying to out-alpha me. I understand why you're picking on me. You're afraid of this one.
I really am. I'm really trying to stay away from picking on Corinne. Like every bit of me just wants to be like, oh, Corinne.
You can. I don't know why.
I don't actually pick on people.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I ain't picking on Shane.
But you guys are friends.
That is true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so look, I know nothing. Is there any other history facts that I should know?
The rest of them.
Stop acting like you're fucking smart, dude. You didn't know what the Gettysburg Address was.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. You're a liar.
I 100% knew that.
Yeah. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think that the difference between me and most people, this is the truth. Okay. this is going to sound a little cocky here, but I'm willing to admit that I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Most people are obsessed with being right and having the answers. And I'm just willing to go, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a fucking fool. I'm an idiot. Who gives a shit? You know? And then I look at things from a very dumb perspective. And I think people connect with that more than people who are pretending to be experts like Shane fucking Gillis, football captain, history buff.
I majored in history, yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, then it's bad that you think this. You just said the 1860s was the start of the Civil War. Shouldn't you know the exact year?
It was 61.
Okay. Because you said 60s, and I was like, I want to
1861
to
1865.
Year. Okay. There you go.
Mm.
Now I feel better.
Okay. Well,
63 was Gettysburg.
All right. Well, we learn something new every day.
Yeah, baby.
There we go.
What did you do with the history degree?
This.
Okay.
This is the first time he's ever
paying
used,
off right now.
The first time he's ever used his history degree is on the Real Ass Podcast today.
It's all coming to fruition, baby.
What do you do when you get a history degree? You're trying to become a history teacher, right?
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah.
That's the only thing to become, though. So you're just, it's weirdly like, it's like those guys who give out cards to become recruiters on the street. You're like, you could also be doing this. You're like, what do you do? Like, what is this job? You're just hiring people to hire people to hire. What is it? What is the end result here?
Could you be a historian too? Or is that a different?
No, you'd, yeah.
Okay, there you go. That's two jobs.
Who pays that guy?
Like, I'm sure a couple libraries.
A museum? Some weird dude with a fetish? He's like, yeah, look shit up while he jerks off while he watches you?
They give quotes sometimes.
Yeah, like museums. I bet you're going to have a great episode of Drunk History.
Yeah, I could. That'd be fun. If they hire white guys.
What?
Uh-oh.
What was your plan with that degree?
At first, I didn't know. I just picked a fucking major, and that was the only one I liked. Like, I was in there. I was in college, and I was like, I should study business. But then I sucked at math. Like, I failed statistics, like, three times.
I don't think you need to be good at math to be in business.
To get the degree, it's required to pass.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I always found workarounds. Like, in high school.
Partnering up with Ralph?
Yeah. I always had a Ralph in high school that I would lean on. No, I would always find workarounds. Like I couldn't pass math. I couldn't do calculus. It just wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. I remember trying. I remember sitting down and going, "Yeah, I know I'm smart. I know that I'm not actually an idiot. And I know if I really just sat down and paid attention and took notes, I can fucking do this." And by day three, it was like alien language on a paper.
Yeah,
I have no idea what happened, dude. Calculus is fucking. God bless your soul if you could do that. Okay, but I knew it wasn't going to happen. So I found my workaround was to take like six art electives. So I had to take I took all these crazy, and I wasn't good at art. So it's like all these kids that were in all these like art classes, and I'm just like, it's like finger paintings. And like, but they can't, like, it's subjective. They can't fail you as long as you do it, right? They can only really give you like a D. As long as you're really fucking trying to do that.
You got a D in art?
Doggy, I mean, that's pretty bad.
I could barely draw a D. So yeah, it's bad.
You had to, like, calculus was like required class in high school?
You had a
you did the six arts?
Pre-calculus for a Regents diploma in New York. Where'd you grow up?
New Jersey, because we just had to do Algebra 1, Geometry, Algebra 2.
No, you had to do up to pre-calculus.
Oh, weird.
In order to get the Regents diploma. If you wanted a local diploma, which was, you know, for the Browns.
Aren't you a Brown?
I was trying to break the mold for my family, okay? I was trying to, even back then I knew.
You're like a convenient Brown, like when they're doing a diversity showcase, you're Brown?
No, I never do those, but when they come after me and they're like, how many times have you said the N-word on podcasts? I was like, look at this.
Oh.
Come on, look at this flat nose right here.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
That's why every year or two I post a picture of my black dad. You notice that? I don't give a fuck about my dad. But I post a sentimental photo on Father's Day of my black dad because they're coming. And what are they going to do? I'm legitimately African, you know?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hell yeah.
What a story.
Did you have a degree?
I still have it, yeah. I have a BFA in film direction.
Do they fucking consider that they let you keep it, and you, like, even if you don't use it, that's like, I'm not saying anyone's going to take it away, but you consider yourself having a degree?
I mean,
you got your degree. I feel like
it doesn't expire.
I don't consider my high school diploma. I don't have my high school diploma. I got my high school diploma. Who gives a shit?
Oh.
It's gone. It's out the window.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, I have it.
Yeah. What is it in?
It's a BFA in film direction.
BFA.
It's just Bachelor
of Fine Arts.
Yeah, instead of Bachelor of Arts, because I went to an art school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. But like a real one, a 4-year one.
So you could do like, what do you, like film editing and fucking mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's very helpful.
Did you take the SATs, Lewis?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
1290.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Nigga, right. Please. Are you crazy? Right. Oh, I throw in a nigga once in a while.
Okay.
They're like, no.
This is good for me. Thanks.
I'm an urban. I'm
this
an urban.
Exactly where I needed to be. You're an urban.
I am an urban. I grew up in poverty, extreme poverty. I was ridiculed by whites my whole fucking life for being a brown person. I mean, what else do I need here, mm-hmm. guys? What do you want me to say?
Big dick.
God damn it. The one thing that I don't have for my black ancestors is a big dick. I've got all the other horseshit.
Oh, you openly talk about not having a big dick on this podcast? I've never seen it. I'm interested to know.
It's not necessarily a segment. We don't have a drop for it.
We should.
We should get one. If Shannon would get her shit together, she'd be like, Lewis got a little dick. Blah, blah.
Is it little?
No, it's not little. Thank
Just
you,
regular.
Okay. Yeah, it's regular.
All right.
It's a regular dick.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Big dicks are overrated.
I know.
Truly.
Exactly. Literally. But if I blue chew you, you're in trouble. Shane, I brought some blue chews for you.
For real?
I got some blue chews for you. That's also how I keep Shane coming back.
He keeps giving me dick pills.
You're gonna fucking chewable dick pills. Shane loves two things, candy and boners. Never have I come up with a more perfect gift. Merry Christmas, dog. I got like six of them for you.
Hell yeah.
How long does that work for?
They work. They're real effective. I was so hard for so long, dude.
This is amazing.
It was the first one I ever took. I never took a boner pill ever, and I took it, and yeah.
Because if you already have a working dick and then you take it, it's just like maximum.
It's just off and
dick.
On okay. boners.
The best way to describe it is a sexual enhancement.
Okay.
It's not. I don't think if I couldn't get a boner with a chick, if I just wasn't into it, I don't think I could take one and then be like, oh, I'm into it now. But if you're into it, it makes you really into it.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it.
Hmm. Okay.
You know? Do you still have a boyfriend, Corinne?
No, that ended a long time ago.
Yeah.
In the spring.
You were dating a guy. He was a nice guy. He was a funny comedian.
James Myers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, though, because you said that you wouldn't fuck Bieber, and then I was thinking of the boyfriends of yours, and I was like, you wouldn't fuck Bieber?
No, I mean, like, they don't look like I like an Ohio woodsman. That's like my look. I have a track record. It's pretty, like, I'm pretty similar with who I like.
Look at Harrington's dumb face. You think?
Yeah.
No,
that's more my type.
Don't tell me that. Please, stop it, Corinne. Please.
Out of anyone in the studio,
cut
her
microphone right now.
If I can't do I guess Shannon, and then
you're going in order of tit size.
No. Yeah, like I like a beard. That's a really important thing. Yeah. I liked beards before it was like everyone had beards. It was cool.
Yeah,
I would make people grow beards.
I wish I can grow a beard because I think beards are disgusting. I really do.
Like, well, you're a Latino. It's a different kind of beard that you guys grow.
Very wispy.
Yeah, I wish I could. Chin strappy.
Can't do it. Even that, I couldn't connect anything. It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
It looks like my face is like just sprouting pubes everywhere.
Okay.
But Harrington, his beard is so disgusting. Like when he eats food, like it just, there's little bits. If you just look at his mouth at any point, there's little bits of food in the beard. And it's...
Those are for later. He's saving it.
It's just one of the most disgusting things in the world. And I see that and I'm like, how could anybody want it? Now, I would want that just because I can't have it. It's like when I can't have something, like I'm just fucking like driven.
Right.
You know? So...
It's more of an aesthetic thing. It doesn't feel good to kiss or on your vagina, if that makes you feel better.
Yeah, I would feel like it would hurt a little bit.
It does hurt sometimes.
You scratch up your clit?
When it's growing in, it does. It depends. Like, that's full enough that I don't think it would be soft if he's putting beard oil in it. And it wouldn't hurt.
Are you putting beard oil in it, Harrington?
Absolutely
beard
no
oil
way
in it.
He's putting beard oil in it.
He's
it
putting fucking...
It looks kind of hydrated.
Tea tree oil twice a week.
Oh, okay. See? You're underestimating
bacon oil in
him.
It? It's fucking... What? You're... Yeah. Harrison, you wouldn't even be a bad looking guy. We made him shave his beard once. Mm-hmm. Literally just thought we were going to fire him if he didn't shave his beard because it was just making everyone sick. Like it grew in so long. There was like fucking little like creatures growing in your beard. There's no way there wasn't life. If you looked it up, I promise you right now. In fact, I looked that up right now.
We all have mites though. You have mites in your eyebrows.
Yeah, but I don't have a huge.
But my mites aren't that
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, but look how little my eyebrows are.
You do have little eyebrows.
Yeah, if you look at my eyebrows.
It looks like you got cut.
But even, no, I have some dope eyebrows. Thank you, Corinne. I saw that compliment you just threw at me. Now what's going on? No, my eyebrows are very little fucking hair on my face. Harrington, the beard is probably 4,000 times the amount of hair on my eyebrows. So he has 4,000 times the amount of mites in his beard if you were just going by basic math logic, which I know you're not a math guy, but it's what I do. 1290 SATs, doggy.
Was this when
how'd
it was 1600?
How'd you do on English since you just
perfect?
Called it basic math logic?
What?
How'd you do on the English part since you just called it basic math
logic? I actually
math
did
logic.
Worse on the English part than I did on the math part, surprisingly, because I didn't do well in math. I told you I had to stop taking math because right. I was so bad. But the math on the SATs was like logic-based. You could get there without knowing formulas or anything. If you just had a calculator, you didn't need to know any formulas at all. So I was good at sort of like logic. And the English part, yeah, I guess I just fucked that part up. Because I did really well in the math part.
Huh.
Yeah. I'm awesome, guys. You're right. Thanks, everyone.
Crushing no, that's an impressive score. That's good.
Thank you. Yeah. It was when it was 1600.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you, Shane? What was your score on the SATs?
I think I got like 1190.
Interesting.
Around there. Yeah, you got a better SAT score than the captain. I cheated on the math part, too.
If I would have done football, you know what I would have done? I would have fucking been the captain's captain.
You think? You got a good
that's
SAT score?
That's what they
score?
Tell the retarded water boy he is, by the way. Yeah. You're the captain's captain. Yeah. Then bring him water.
The other team would let you score. Be a YouTube video.
They just are sucking my dick. Yeah. I walk out of the field and the other team would just drop to their knees and they would line up and I would fucking have them blow me. Every one of them. All nine of them, right?
Yeah, there's nine. There's 11? Nine players. It's 11.
I knew that. I was thinking. When I looked that way and said 11, it was that's where my, you know, some people look up to think.
No, it's definitely someone in the back that said 11.
I look
clearly.
Toward Harrington when I think. So thank you very much. Shane.
All right, so what? Why do you guys not like each other?
We like each other.
Oh, well, you don't, this went on for a long time.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Okay. You don't know that?
No.
I guess our fight didn't make it to Philly.
We did not like each other, okay? Mm-hmm. Me and Corinne, you know, we were both casualties of a podcast war. And that's just kind of the best way to put it, you know? That's what I would say.
The energy in here is so calm, it's almost alarming.
Why? First of all, third session anger management, crushing it right now.
You've only had three and you got this calm?
I think I'm doing
how long?
Well.
Are they a week-long retreat each?
No, you know what? I just, if I could. No, guys, I'm actually under lockdown right now. They just had me come here. They put me back in a cage. And no, it has been it's been three sessions. And I think it's because I'm holding myself accountable for my actions.
You're like
more.
Mad at yourself.
No, I'm not mad at myself.
You're using anger against yourself.
I think I'm
yourself.
Awesome. I'm actually pretty happy with myself.
Wow, is this court mandated? Or no. Did you just go because you were like, I need to?
I just went because I'm blowing up more and more. And it hasn't been getting
sorry,
better.
Oh, I thought you meant like as a celebrity.
No, I was like, what? No, I'm crushing it.
I was afraid of that. I swear to God, when he said it, I was like, man, I hope he didn't say that.
You know what the problem is?
I like this guy a lot.
I'm going to wind up on TMZ one of these days.
Doug, you know, they're coming, the paparazzi, and I don't want to just get caught.
I don't want to go full Baldwin. Like, I was like, what are you doing?
No, I'm literally blowing up in bigger ways, in closer proximity to each other.
Oh, okay.
Where it was like, I would always be crazy, and I would always, but I think... You know, and the reality is, it is as I become more successful, there's part of that because mm-hmm. there's less, I have less people to answer to. It used to be I wanted to get into clubs and I wanted to fucking get onto these TV shows and whatever it is, but I've sort of set my path my own way. And I still want to do things like that, but that's not necessarily what butters my bread.
Okay.
So if I feel justified, it's always when I feel justified. If I feel justified in being angry, I will let myself go down a path where I will snowball into threatening violence and screaming and fucking like really just being crazy. And, you know, I got a kid, I got a fucking career, I got things I got to worry about. And I don't know, it's not making me happy to walk around like that. And I'm happier now that I've been in therapy.
Nah, fuck that, dude. You should freak the fuck out. You should keep freaking the
you
fuck
like
out.
You like it. You hit me up. You're like, dude. I love it. You're like, dude, he sends me screenshots of me like just like talking shit to people on the internet. Like, dude, give me more. Yeah, dude, you love it.
I need it.
Yeah.
It's hilarious knowing that people try to reach out to you and you freak out.
But I still kind of freak out, but I freak out in my own way. Like, because now I think my freak outs, like, people still think, like, dude, you're still freaking out. Anger management's not working. I'm like, no, but you don't understand what I would have done a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy it would have gotten.
Well, it's hard because if people know and are entertained by your freak outs, that you kind of have, like, if that feeds itself then.
Yeah.
Because you kind of want to keep being this character
of course
that people like.
I lean into that because, obviously, like, if I have a story where I lose my temper, I'll tell it on the podcast because people are going to laugh at
yeah
it. And but also, there's also something very funny in... Now I'm trying to contain every freak out.
Now you're becoming a pussy. Like, now, Pussy Gomez could be funny. Could be a funny character. He's going to freak out on me. Look at him.
Thank you for the guest attack. Yeah, Pussy Gomez could be a funny character. Just take it on the chin. I do feel like that, though. Like, people are just, like, disrespecting me, and I'm just like, all right, that's cool.
You're, like, obsessed with this disrespect thing.
But it's not, because I grew up hood,
yeah,
son. Maybe
I was like, that's a very poor thing.
You guys are white privileged as fuck.
I'm
that's
a Jew. Alt-right's coming for us. I'm not even white.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
It's not called alt wrong.
Exactly, dude. No, that's why I was in Philly. We just had a march. I was defending the Constitution. It was fucking sick.
The Gettysburg Address.
Yeah, whatever. But I'm feeling definitely in a better place, even though, you know, I feel like just the world is cucking me left and right. Just nonstop.
Oh, my gosh.
It's difficult. It really is. I mean, dude, the other day, I really turned, like, dude, this guy, I was in a cab, and... It was like I was at a movie because it's like now it's just happening more and more and I can't do anything. I can't freak out. So he's going across 20th Street going east. And I'm like, yeah, I got to go down to the studio, 6th Street, East Village. And I just see this clear as day. There's no traffic on 20th Street. Just going across. I'm just looking at it. You could just fucking see the highway. I'm looking at it. And he just turns right on Broadway into like deadlock traffic, Broadway down to Union Square. And I mean, all I want to do is murder him.
Right.
Like, every bit of me wants to just, like, I can't even imagine why he could possibly in a million years do that. And I take it very, very personally. And I just, like, you know, I breathe. And then I, you know, all I did was, like, sir, I'm going to get out now. And then he was like, okay, but you have to pay. And I was like, no. I'm not paying for anything. And I think that calmness.
So you freaked out calm.
No. It's scarier to them.
No, it absolutely is.
It's scarier because I was like, no. I'm not. And I didn't blink. Because I'm trying to suppress the anger so badly and I'm just trying to walk away. But I didn't feel as if I should have had to pay. And it was literally, I went a few blocks. I went like a block. I should have paid $4 to go a block when he turned into fucking traffic. Mm-hmm. Am I crazy?
No.
Would you have paid, Shane?
Yeah, I would have sat in the car.
You would have just sat in the car?
I would have sat
silently.
There.
That's that's what whites do.
That's nuts. That's nuts. I can't do it. And you're right. That's the part of me that like is just raises poor... Puerto Rican trash because that's what we do.
Yeah, but I think your approach is better. Like, we like it's like white people like silently sit while bad things happen and just deal with it.
Yeah,
especially women.
That's what the march was about. It's time for white people to take action. You know what I mean?
No, just with the politeness.
It's time for us to stop sitting back and letting shit happen.
We gotta be proactive.
We need to take action, dude. And it starts with the Jews.
That's a good idea, Corinne. You're right.
Oh my god.
Ah, shit. I love how Shane is spinning Corinne's comments into genuinely motivational white power.
I know. This is going to be great. I can't wait till these sound bites come out. This is going
to
be...
Exactly right, Corinne. We do need to take back our rights.
Again, I've really been reinforcing how Jewish I am. I would like everyone to get a profile of my face.
Yeah.
And I'm really going to ride on that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's just take a moment and talk about one of our great sponsors, which is AutoSlash. Corinne, I don't know if you drive. I mean, you're traveling all over the place now.
I have a license.
Ooh, look at you. Do any car rentals?
Yeah.
And what's the most annoying thing about car rentals?
Talking to people, filling out paperwork.
I never even considered that part of it. Oh. But that part of it's fucking annoying as well. And that the AutoSlash alleviates a lot of that horse shit.
Mm-hmm.
You're goddamn right. That's a good point. I never even brought that up. Corinne Fisher changing the game today. AutoSlash.com, but you don't know what it is. It's the number one site for getting a great car deal on car rentals. Here's the truth. car rental prices fluctuate constantly. You go on there 1 minute, it goes up. Go on there another minute, it goes down. Who knows? There's no rhyme or reason to it anymore, okay? And you're right. You got to deal with annoying fucking car rental people. If you call somebody, talk to somebody, it hurts. Fuck that. I'm not doing any of that stuff, okay? What AutoSlash does is they put in all of the discounts that are available, every coupon code, everything that's out there. They constantly track it, and they get you the absolute best price available on a car rental. Not only that, they search all of the major rental companies like Avis, Hertz, and Thrifty for the best deals. Also, all of your membership affiliations such as AAA and Costco applying every coupon that you're eligible for. Not only that, if you book and the price drops, guess what? They track it. They contact you. You could rebook. The best deal possible on car rentals, Shane Gillis. You tell me all the time, do you throw money at car rentals? It's the worst thing you do.
Yeah.
Tell me that. You said, we were saying that before we got the
right
show started.
Right before we started.
Right before we started. Dude, I don't know what to do. I'm like... car rental money.
Fucking sick of rental.
Like, I wish
cars.
I could save some. I wish I could save some cash in car rentals.
I stopped renting cars.
Yeah, I know.
So I won't use.
Well, guess what?
That's why he was late today. He had to walk here from Philly.
It's crazy. Because
he didn't want to rent a fucking car.
On average, renters save 30% or more using AutoSlash.com. And here's what we're doing. Okay, we have a pretty cool thing right now. Okay, what I want you to do: rent through AutoSlash.com. They don't use any discount codes. They don't have anything like that. They don't get you. We don't have to fuck. You don't have to type in promo code RAP. It's none of that shit, okay? We just want you to go to the website and use it. But we also want to show them that our fans are fucking hardcore and they actually use the service. So we're running a special promotion. If you tweet at AutoSlash and at Gas Digital, GASDIGITAL, and AutoSlash, AUTOSLASH, and you tweet at the what we're going to do is the funniest picture in an AutoSlash rental, funniest picture in an AutoSlash rental, we are going to award $150 in Merch Pump merchandise for any of the podcasts here on the Gas Digital Network. Any of the podcasts, $150 for the funniest picture. So make sure you guys use that if you're renting a car for this holiday season. AutoSlash.com, one more time, is the website. Thank you so much for supporting them. All right, what were we talking about? So look, I'm going to give you the long story short because it's, you know, me and Corinne, we... I don't even want to, I literally, it got so petty and the who's right and wrong thing, I don't think it's even productive.
We just we stopped responding and then he kept making videos that were going on YouTube.
That's not true.
People are getting podcast wars tattoos.
It's a great tattoo. It's a great logo.
Who gets a tattoo about an internet feud?
Warriors.
Yeah, true.
Warriors that are ready to fucking throw it down for the podcast war. That, and you're not the only people that we've had podcast wars with, Corinne, okay?
Well, now I don't even feel special.
Now it's a movement. Now, it was kind of stupid, okay? Long story short, okay? What upset me was... All right, let me start from the beginning. I don't want to tell this wrong. All right. Corinne and Christina came on Legion of Skanks, which was not a show they should have come on.
No, and I didn't know what the show was. I just agreed.
It was it wasn't a good episode for them because we do what we do.
No episode's a good episode for us.
No, it's not. It wasn't. It's not. Yeah. It's because what you guys, you know, what you were doing with your podcast, and I invited you on specifically because I thought you guys were funny and I thought the podcast was a great show and a great idea. And I say that in the show. I'm not saying this in retrospect. None of this is like me going like, now we're cool. But I brought them on and we just didn't mix. It was oil and water. Specifically the shows are just like opposite ends and it wasn't a fun, funny conversation. It got kind of like venomous and catty and crazy. And it was on both ends. We didn't keep it funny the whole time. And that's sort of a problem when you're doing a live podcast. I think some people like the fucking, you know, the venom and the horseshit. But for me, when I'm doing a show, it's a successful show when I'm laughing and I'm having a good time. And they left, and at that point, the impression was just made, we just weren't going to sort of be friends. You know, we didn't do the same thing. And so they went on Jim and Sam, and this is sort of what upset me. There was some stuff in between there. And I don't want to get too inside baseball, but me and my girlfriend at the time were booking a room called LOL, which is like a fucking horseshit, terrible club in Times Square. It's the worst club you can go to this day.
I'd love to work there. If you guys are listening, please, dude.
You would fit in.
Just walk in.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I need.
It's terrible. So, but we were booking this room, and we
had this... You have any material about how sometimes your ass is itchy? You'd do great there.
For sure.
You're not wrong.
So, we had had this falling out, so I was like, well, fuck it. I'm not going to keep on putting this chick on the show, and... if we're going to just be kind of being catty and trashing each other and cat, you know, and that was the thing. Cause we were putting you on the show and we were putting Christina on the show and I'd like walk into the room and then be like, oh yeah, Corinne fucking hates you. She was just trashing you. And I'm going like, what is going on here? It's like, what am I even doing? Like, I feel like I have to. And just
that's
so
not
you,
even true.
Fine, maybe it wasn't. But just so you know, on the back end, I was like fighting the owner of that place to like make sure people are getting paid. Like it was a lot going on in the back end that I was kind of almost like, you know, I was like, guys, like I get it, my girlfriend's taking the emails for the things, but there's more going on than people realize. So I was almost offended that like that was the case. And I was immature. And
Lewis
I was
is
like,
making an excuse for the he just took me and Christina off the avails list.
That's not true. I took you off the avails list because me and Christina spoke and she was like, cool, let's just be cool. And
you, well, you originally took her off and then put her back on.
Yeah, it was immature. I just said it. It was immature. But we weren't friends. If you were doing something for me.
That's fine.
And, you know, at that point, I will admit that that was just stupid. And the reality is, like, this is why you don't get involved with booking on that level. Like,
right. I just thought it was an unwritten rule that you don't fuck with people's stage time, but that's fine.
You don't. That's like if I went. But no, no.
Unless
if,
it's me and you.
No, if I went to a booker and said, don't book Corinne, that's mm-hmm. fucked up. It, but mm-hmm. if I'm booking a show and I'm like, I don't like you anymore,
I hear you.
That's not fucking with somebody's stage time. That's just not, you know, giving you work. So. What do you want me to say?
You know, different things, guys.
Am I wrong or am I right about that?
It's fine. Like I'm not mad about that.
You're mad about it.
No.
So listen.
Wait, you guys were fighting and then he stopped booking you on his show?
Yeah.
Not his, it's not his. He just, he was like behind the scenes. Like, and he was saying that his girlfriend at the time was doing it, but it was like really he was doing it. And she was probably like over she's an Excel writing... sheet as he yelled at her.
He's like, take that bitch off the fucking Excel
That's
sheet.
That's exactly what happened. You could have been
literally
anywhere
like, hey, email my girlfriend. And then you would see him get the email, turn around, answer it, and be like, she'll get back to you in a minute.
dude, she thinks you stink. fuck. But yeah, that's exactly what happened. You know, it's, you know, regardless, it was sort of petty. The whole thing was. So then they go on Jim and Sam show.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a stupid moment because it was, even looking back at it, I don't think you believed this at all. But they were, Jim brought up, he was like, do you know any other shows like, you know, like your show? And then she was like, well, we know this one really trashy show, Legion of Skanks.
That's an accurate description to this
that's
day.
Fine. That is true. And then he was like, Sam, because he's a little fucking worm, he starts pressing more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, why don't you like him? And Sam knows how to unravel a story, so.
He's real Barbara Walters.
He fucking basically led her into a conversation where they were talking about me being a father. And Sam goes, do you think he's a bad father? And then she goes, well, if I had to flip a coin, I would assume yeah.
Wow, he memorized the quote. He has that like over his bed. He's painted that in therapy.
It for me, it's one of the only things for me that I try to be perfect with. I'm not perfect.
Right.
But I try. The only thing that I care that I wake up every day that I go, I'm going to actively try to not fuck this up in any way with work, with anything else. I'll be lazy sometimes. Shit happens. With my kid, I really try not to fuck that up. And I'm a good dad. I'm very proud of being a good
father. She triggered you.
She fucking triggered me.
Yeah. This is like what I don't understand because it's just, it's such like a yo mama. It's like when people take yo mama jokes seriously.
Right.
It's just like, why the fuck do you care what I think of you?
Well, I don't think that you really believed that.
Well,
you
no, actually,
know.
I will. Because at the time, I believed that you were a truly bad person. And so even if you were like, you know, taking care of your kid
right.
and like being there for him, I truly believe that someone who I thought was a bad man
right.
who was living in bad ways could not be set a good example for his son.
But
therefore, you have to be a bad dad. That was my logic.
All right. And I understand that.
It's basic math logic.
Yeah, and you said flip of the coin.
You learned that in pre-calculus.
Like, if it was any Puerto Rican, it'd be like, that's a coin toss, for sure. Add to the fact you're a dickhead. It's a dickhead Puerto Rican. That's a weighted coin, dude.
First of all, I don't even know where a Puerto Rican's going to get a coin.
Hell yeah.
All right, so what, even at that time, where, I mean, look, we don't really know each other that well.
No.
Why did you think I was a bad person? What was your perspective that was like, this guy's a bad person?
I mean, just the things you were talking about on Legion of Skanks, your behavior during the podcast war. Like, I mean, just, it was so juvenile. I don't know if that was before or after
the
video.
The video was a response.
Yeah, I know you got really mad about that. And then, I mean, I don't want to get into this on air because I don't want to like, but like people had messaged me privately about like things that you had done in relationships.
My ex-girlfriend messaged you saying that I put her through a table because
damn,
you told
ECW.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because my ex-girlfriend
it was a TLC match, dude.
This is a girl
she
that
had to.
It was multiple people, though. I guess it was like at least like two or three people.
Different women saying
yes.
that I've physically hurt them.
Yes.
Can you forward me those messages?
I mean, I'd have to go back years.
I would love that, Lewis. because was it like? Because in my opinion, I think it's probably the same chick. I'll tell you why. Because this chick, to this day, this is a chick that I dated like 10 years ago. Every girl that I've ever dated, they get private messages, and it's always from the same person. Be like, yeah, this guy, you know, just so you know, he did this. Sometimes it'll be little things like, oh, just so you know, he's been cheating on you with me for a while, and that's that. And then they'll block the person, and that's that. But my ex-girlfriend, I'm telling you right now, without a doubt, because I've never in my life ever put my hands on a woman. Not once ever. You could ask any woman that I've ever dated, any woman that you would actually, that has a face to
How
the
about
fucking
a trans
name.
Person?
A trans person? I've never put my hands on anything but their dick.
I like that you giggled when I said that.
But I've never, like, literally ever in my entire life put my hands on a woman. Not once, ever. And I used to get physically abused by my mom, physically abused by my sister. Like, I'm talking about, like really to a very, very large way. So I think
your sister older?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my ex, I'm not going to bring her into it, but she told me you guys went up to her and were like, oh, just so you know, this chick hit me up saying that this guy did this. And she came back to me and told me that because, first of all, she knew if I was going to hit anybody, she'd be the fuck. This girl was fucking, you know who I'm talking about. But so for me, I was just kind of like.
That would have been a flaming table with thumbtacks on it.
This was all, literally everything you're naming is all after the fact, because that came in response to us sort of having a public war, you know what I'm saying, or a public beef or whatever you want to call it.
I don't remember the timeline on that, but I actually am not that angry. I don't run that angry. Mm-hmm. So if I hated you, it was justified.
I mean, this is what I'm saying, though. I really mean this. I kind of want to break that down because, you know, you came on the show, and then the next thing that happened, like all that, we didn't have any like public thing. Nobody knew that we had like any type of issue until we sort of had it out after Jim and Sam, and we created those videos and everything. So
right.
When you're saying people hit you up, I mean, you're literally saying this was after that fact. So when you're saying on Jim and Sam, you think I'm a bad dad, it came from really what I was saying on podcasts and jokes that I was making and sort of.
But also you took that way more seriously. Like you, like, I've never said I feel disrespected. I don't think in my life, like, maybe on the podcast, but the people who listen to my podcast. But other than that, no.
No, you're right. I overreacted.
It's just like a feeling that I don't have. Like, I've never, like, you disrespected my honor.
Yeah,
like,
but
that just never
happened.
It's less
than disrespect the honor. It was specifically about, you know, talking
it's
about my kid.
It's just a jab. I wasn't talking about your kid. I was talking about you.
I know, but it was very personal to me. And that's why it wasn't.
So I understand why. It was so silly to me. And you took it so seriously. It was just like a little jab. Like, I'm not going to, if I don't like someone, I'm not going to like compliment them.
Of course.
And now, I mean, we all know, like, to this day, I won't do Sam's show. His producer literally asked me like last week, and I said, no, I'm not doing that Ferret's show.
Yeah, she hates him now.
I blocked him. I unblocked you, and he's still unblocked.
We're cool now. Yeah. But I mean, I do want to, like...
Well, because you're actually, like a person who's out there making art. Like, I have no respect for people who are just trying to trap someone on their little radio show.
Oh, so you think he was trying to trap you?
100%. I knew exactly what it was in retrospect. And you just said that he's good at, like, leading people down.
He is. Yeah. Well, he knew to... I don't know that his plan was to do that. I think that he saw that, and then he saw that opportunity to kind of unravel that thread.
And it's just, I'm much more podcast and radio savvy now, so I know what people are, and I do like extensive research. I mean, I've walked off lots of things since I didn't leave Legion of Skanks early or something, or I was pissed after.
I don't think you were furious, because I'm fucking following these chicks onto the fucking subway going like, guys, you know, I know it was
No, you guys were spending like an hour like smoking weed together, and
no,
I was like, I need to leave Queens.
Went on the subway with you guys after the show.
Yeah, I had to wait for an hour while you guys smoked pot.
Oh, okay.
Is what I'm saying. And I was like, I'm mad and I
furious.
Don't smoke pot.
She
so what
furious.
Am I supposed to do?
Yeah. I really want to, if you could, I would love to see, you know, who told you that I had been physically abusive to them? Was it an anonymous?
No, it was a person. I do not remember the name. It was a woman on a Facebook Messenger. I don't even know how I would search for it, because I would have to know her name.
Well, because then it sort of became like a thing where I was going like, well, now you guys are going behind my back. And I did talk about this on the show. I was like, well, now you guys are going behind my back and telling people you know, that I'm involved with that literally just from some random person, they're telling you this. And
we just warned our friend who, or I guess I, we thought was our friend. I don't know.
I don't know if she's anybody's friend.
Well, I'm not sure.
No, I understand that as well, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. The whole thing was kind of like, it got crazy and it was stupid. It wasn't really, and I really mean this, it wasn't over anything that was really that serious. None of it was serious. It was all just you guys coming on a podcast. We didn't really vibe. You guys made that comment. I sort of overreacted to that comment. And then it sort of. Look, but hold on. We were funny with it. I didn't just go, hold on.
So Lewis calls into the radio show while we're on it.
I did.
And then Sam goes, and then we have Lewis. And then as soon as he said we have Lewis, I was like, this is a setup. This is some like Z Morning Zoo bullshit.
No, I swear to God. People tweeted at me.
I was listening and told Lewis to call in.
Oh, okay. So you're a little tattletale.
And no, but not just him. People tweeted at me saying these girls are trashing you.
We were in the same room.
If someone said that you were trashing me on Twitter, I would be like, okay, like what?
I'm crazy. What are you talking about? Yes, I am a little crazy, but at the same time, you know, you guys were trashing me on a radio show unprompted. I wasn't going out trashing you guys. It wasn't. I really wasn't. And I wasn't like, and we also never, I really mean this, like we never told our fans to say fucked up things to you guys. We really never did that, ever. Not once. In fact, we told them the opposite, okay? And I think that sometimes has an adverse effect because you just, you know, you deal with troll culture or whatever it is. But we never once said, oh, dude, go threaten these girls with fucking violence or rape or call them names or whatever. We made a video where me and Dave dress up as Corinne and Christina, and we just mocked them in the video. And we, you know, we just did characters like we were you guys, and we were trying to be funny. Like, it wasn't like we
were...
What
type of voice did you use?
It was great. I wish we took the video down, actually. I took the video down.
It was a semi-amusing video.
It was pretty funny. You have to admit it was funny.
I said semi-amusing. I mean, like, it wasn't like your
that's
best
as
word.
Much. That means hilarious if she's saying semi-amusing.
It wasn't bad.
It was pretty good.
I chuckled.
So we made this video, and it's available on Legion of Skanks. You guys can watch it on that show. But it's
I
not.
Like, I took it down, but you can
it's behind the paywall. GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use promo code RAP. You can probably get that out there. But no, I did take it down. I really did take it down from YouTube. Just the video itself, like it's on a podcast somewhere, but it's not on YouTube, so people can't search it. Because I took it down because I didn't want people to happen upon it. People don't really look at the dates and go like, they just are like finding us or finding you guys. And to this day, I'll get a message from some fan of yours being like, fuck you, leave, you know, Corinne and Christina alone. Like,
oh, we've never discussed it on our podcast because we didn't want to give you guys free
I
listens.
Know, but people yeah. will find it on, what, I know. Jim and Sam still have it on their thing.
You know what, sometimes when, like, you know how they put like a video sometimes when you're working at a club? Like a video next to your ticket sales. Mm-hmm. So
they put the one of Dave and Lewis next to you.
Well, not that one, but they'll put like the fight on the Sam Roberts show. And I'm like, is anyone watching these videos? Yeah. And it's like literally like a freeze frame of me where I look like some kind of a goblin, and I like look like to be like 275 pounds.
You subscribe, Zach.
Okay, that's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, so we made a video. It was meant to be fucking funny, and it was. And then it just sort of snowballed from there, and then it just turned into things like that. Then I'd hear things behind the scenes, like, you know, like from my ex comes up to me, and she's like, yeah, these girls are telling me that they had somebody hit them up, and, you know, and she, oh, by the way, she had gotten messages from a similar girl, like, you know, and it's always like a fake profile with whatever.
Shane's so sorry he asked about that.
No, but the reality is,
you're
like,
you're earning those dick pills today, buddy.
Yeah, man.
But I mean, look, that's kind of, it stoked the fires because I wasn't like, there was no real, like, I gave up the hate side of it. Once we had made once I'm in lipstick and makeup with fucking fake boobs and I'm dressed up as you, I'm not angry anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, at that point, I'm just being kind of funny. And then it just sort of keeps on going. And it, you know, and look, the reality is, if I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry, because I wasn't actually trying to hurt your feelings. That wasn't the intent. The intent was to create something that was kind of funny and react in a way, because I was angry on the phone when I called into Jim and Sam, but when I stepped away from that and then started thinking of it as a bit, and we got fucking costumes and we got our whole team together and made, that was much more about it turning into something funny. And then it turned into something where, like, you know, I didn't. You guys didn't react funny. You guys, like, you know,
we didn't react at all because we just didn't want to. We were working on our own thing that was doing well, and we didn't. That's not the kind of show that we do. You guys are very like WWE, which I get,
right?
But that's just not. So we were just we're not going to mention it. That's how we handle a lot of stuff. It's just we're not going to feed into this.
I get it.
We're not going to be a part of it. It didn't hurt my feelings. It just created a very large headache that I had to deal with.
Yeah.
Both in my comedy partnership and then just in. On social media, because social media is just very different for women.
Yeah,
and I think guys don't understand that. I'm not one of those people who's like, well, you just have to understand how it is, and I don't want to educate you. Like, that's annoying, but you know, you don't have no idea what it's like. It's different.
I mean, I think I do, and I think I know. No, I do to a certain degree. I think, you know, people. But it is an interesting conversation because I think people do say that, like, oh my god, how, you know, guys don't understand what it's like. To be a woman on social media. I mean, I've dealt with threats of violence. I mean, I deal with threats of violence, I mean, almost daily.
Yeah, but it's violent. Like a dude threatening to punch you in the face is different than, like rape or, like, every time you go on, like post something about something that you achieved or something about work. It's, like, all about your looks, whether it be negative or positive. The positive comments on looks annoy me just as much as the negative ones.
Every time I post a picture, one guy... puts a fucking
one guy.
Raphael Ninja Turtle mask on my face every fucking time.
I get
that's
called,
not bad.
I literally get called fat retard
daily.
Anytime something.
I mean, if I post a picture,
I'm not downplaying.
I'm just saying, like, that's like one comment. It's not. I think it's not like 98% of the comments.
I'm telling you right now, and I'm not discounting your experience, but I think you're doing as though you're discounting ours.
But isn't it a sexual podcast?
Who are you? Who are you discounting your experience?
I'm not.
You know, I know, but you're so calm and
I am.
Using all these like progressive terms.
I am. I'm fucking in a
you
good
don't
place.
Have to, this is not something it just made me hate you. I didn't need to go to therapy about this or anything.
No.
I don't think about it. I just was like, oh, I hate Lewis now and I'm not gonna talk to him. And that was the end of it. There was not like a big thought process.
It's over. We tried.
I wasn't like at home crying.
We tried.
I was like, oh, I'll just like enjoy my podcast being number one on iTunes.
Ooh,
like it was really? I mean, yeah, not anymore, but at
fuck
that time
yeah.
It was great.
I understand that as well. You know, I'm talking about like the hate online though. Forget the podcast thing for a second.
And those people don't. I mean, it's, again, that was a long time ago, and that was the beginning of us dealing with that. And now I deal with that every day, so I'm used to it. Okay. I even got it some today. Well, I was gonna read some. The fans were so excited that I was gonna be on the show. I mean, I just couldn't.
Well, you got some hate. What'd
I just
they say?
Couldn't even believe how excited
What'd
people do love you, Shane. I will say that
they do love Shane.
They were so upset that I was.
Most people that threaten rape on the internet are also a fan of mine.
Yeah,
that's true.
Which is a sick fan base.
That's kind of your thing. yeah, there's a guy named John. He has 3 followers and no avatars. He said, Shane is great. Why wreck the episode with Corinne? She is terrible. And then a sick emoji and a barfing emoji. And then someone from Vancouver, so I don't even know if we care what they say, is said, what a delusional narcissist calling herself philanthropy gal. I'm sure her 4-figure tax write-offs are really making a dent. And that made me laugh so hard because I was like, 4-figure tax write-offs? What are you, poor? So that was fun.
Yeah, I was trying to describe your body.
That was fun.
Corinne, but you
I
know,
didn't really get that joke.
You are. I do think that. I don't know. I do think that it does still affect you to a little bit of a degree. Like, you know, people are talking shit, and
See, you're trying to make it a thing. It doesn't.
No, I'm not.
I just don't like you. You're okay now.
I'm trying so hard. To be
I know you are, cool. But you're like
Yo,
making
freak
it.
Freak out, dude.
We're wasting so much time talking about this thing that I don't think anyone cares about.
Well, Shane asked about it. I wanted to fill him in.
I know.
I really
and then
did.
You know
what the whole point of the fucking episode was?
No.
But you're. And you're
I have notes. None of it was about me and her having a beef. None
You've
of it.
You've meditated too much and you talk too slowly now.
No. I'm
Shane
not.
Is a great guest and funny as F. Why no, have yeah. Corinne on here to wreck the episode? She is terrible. Corinne, please cancel. RAP fans hate you. And you are going to have a lot of fans say a ton of nasty shit if you do go on the show. Please oversleep. Nothing to gain. 100 emoji. I kind of admire how like many points he
yeah,
made.
Yeah. He's like, I hope you oversleep and miss this.
And I like that he was like trying to be mean, but then like didn't even fully write fuck out. I hope you oversleep.
I mean, you got a a lot of nice comments.
Well, now you get sleep threats, which is rough.
Hold on, that's not it. Because then look. It's on my Instagram. Okay.
Oh God. Well, I was already alarmed when I was supposed to be on like a week or two ago, and you had to reschedule. I got a Google alert that we were mentioned together on Reddit. Yeah. It's like, that's never good.
Yeah, no, I know. But here's the thing. I think, by the way, that guy as well, because you showed it to me and you were like, look at this. This is funny. We should, they want us to fist fight on the show. But the guy even said at the bottom, his comment, because I went and saw it, he said, oh, I'm just kidding, by the way. Like, I hope it's a good episode. So the problem is, I think sometimes we have this, we do a show where it's like fucking, you know, male driven, fucking young dudes. They, you know, they laugh at like fucked up humor, and this is sort of the tone of it. So when we post some stuff on social media, they just get very brazen sometimes. And sometimes they're kidding, sometimes they're not. But just so you know, like, it's not just the thing with you. Like, if I go on Jim and Sam, or if I go on Bennington or whatever, I'm going to get just as many people being like, this guy fucking sucks. You know, when I was on Joey Diaz's podcast, I mean, it's just, it's just sort of like, it's just, people are going to like you or hate you, and the people that hate you will have a loud voice, and they're going to express it way more often. There are a lot of people that listen to this show. Most people just aren't going to go and tweet at the people who are on the show. 95% of people are never going to try to even contact anybody who's been on the show, or me, or whatever. They just listen and they enjoy it. So I think it's just being a victim of being somewhat successful. So I don't know that it's necessarily just a female or a male thing, because I know a lot of dudes.
No, I'm not saying the hate. I'm just saying the kind of things people say. I'm not saying the hate in general. No. The kind of things. There's like, it is different. To be sexually assaulted online is a little bit different than be like, I'm going to punch you in the face. It's a little different.
I'll tell you that was my point. I feel like I have guys that say, hey, dude, I'm going to come to your show and fuck you up, right? I feel like it's going to happen. How often are people saying they're going to show up at your show and rape you? Is that really happening often?
At the time it was. Not now. No.
You were getting people saying, I'm going to show up and rape you.
Like, I mean, stuff like that. I mean, I don't know that's exact line.
Or were they saying things like, I hope you get raped? Because that's not that's not a rape threat.
It's a rape wish.
Lewis, I don't care about rape. I'm not taking either one seriously. It's just, at the time, annoying to go on. And like, when you're first handling going from completely being a private person, you know, when you're 28 years old, to then 28 years of not being in the spotlight, and then being immediately pushed into it, it's just a little bit of a time to adjust to it. I'm totally adjusted to it now. This was like many years ago.
Right. No, you're right about that. I agree. Like, it used to hurt back in the day. I remember my first troll ever. The first guy that would troll me regularly, I'd be like, if I ever find you.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you just get like 20 of those dudes that are doing it every single day. I would have dudes, this is another level of masterful trolling. I would have guys like troll me by trolling you guys. It was like crazy. Like, I had a guy like made a fake Luis J. Gomez account, and then he'd tweet shit to you guys as like me.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I'm not fucking doing this at all. And like, I'm assuming you're not going beyond, you know, clicking on the profile. You just see this and you block or whatever. And I'm going like, it's just people stirring shit up. So that was pretty masterful. But all right, look, whatever. Move on. Moving on. Look, the point of all of it is, you know, Corinne, I respect what you do. And I think that I'm just too fucking old to be harboring stupid resentments over shit that I never really cared about that much in the first place. So that's why I'm glad we were able to kind of have a conversation a few times. There was a couple of things that, you know, you did that I weirdly, like, we invited you to Skankfest, and I was almost offended that you guys said no. And then I talked to you about it, and I just respected your answer so much.
No.
Well, yeah, you said no, but yeah. I respected your answer so much, which was,
seems like a decent move.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just wasn't, I explained it to him. I said, that's just not, like, that's not our brand. That's not who we are to be a part of Skankfest. It's like, it's more important for me to always be who I am. Like, that's a very important part of not just like my professional life, but my personal life. And I'm like, it's nothing against you. And I'm good friends with Justin Silver. He even tried to talk me into it. And I'm like, I have to explain to you, this is just not, it's never going to happen. No matter if I end up liking or being friends with Lewis or not.
Yeah.
It's just not the place I need to be.
No, and I respected that. That made sense. And I was like, okay, well now, you know, and we had a conversation at a comedy club recently, and we just were able to kind of talk and put the bullshit aside. And regardless of how we look at the past, I'm glad that we could just fucking be mature and you know, that's that. So whatever. Regardless, let's talk about some other shit. So the Chipotle employee, I knew nothing about this. Shannon, what happened here? Tell me about it.
So at a Chipotle, there was a, I don't know if she was a manager, but there was an employee that saw a couple of black kids come in and told them, at first she was smiling at them, kind of trying to ignore them a little bit, and she had recognized them as two kids that had been at Chipotle earlier on that week, and they didn't pay for their food. So she told them, do you guys actually have money today to actually pay for the food, and ask for the money up front? And they were recording it the whole time, basically saying, oh, this is racist. Is it because we're black? Yada, yada. So they,
and then the video went viral.
Yeah. So they ended up, so she ended up getting fired because they played the race card and made it a whole thing.
Wow.
But then afterward, it turned out that the kids had been tweeting and stuff like that about dining and dashing for years. And it seems that they were actually the kids that had got food from there and not paid for it earlier that week.
Hmm.
Hell yeah.
How do you get the food from Chipotle without paying for it? That you
they make it at the beginning. Yeah, you can just take it and run right at the end, right when you
pay.
Oh, because
they don't give it to me until they get to the register.
Well, they know you're a Jew. They saw your profile. She's going to try to dine in Dutch.
I was I didn't even know that was on the table.
At a restaurant, we call it a chew and Jew. You just run it on the bill.
Really?
Yeah. Never we used to do that all the time. All the time as kids. Dine and dash?
I never did that once.
Really?
Never. If I did it accidentally, I would go back and pay.
No. We would legitimately
never.
We did that in Amsterdam. when I went to Amsterdam when I was like 21, 22 years old. We were just broke at the end of the trip. We didn't have money for food.
Hookers don't count. We mean restaurants.
No, because we had
rape
spent...
and escape.
we had no money left, and we went to this. It was my last like 10 euro to like get lunch, and we were leaving after that. We went to this little cafe, and we ordered sandwiches. It was like, I'm American, so I'm such a fucking, you know. I ordered like a ham sandwich. I was like, ham and cheese, dude. That'll fuck it. Maybe I'll save half for later. Perfect, you know. Ham and cheese sandwich, the last of my money. They come out with this little fucking baguette with one slice of ham, one slice of cheese, and I was like, fuck this, dude. We're not paying for these at all. And then me and my buddy Gene Kelly. Dan Doherty was like, dude, we're not leaving. You're out of your mind. We're like, we're leaving. And we just literally ran and left him. And then he had to like get up and chase us because he didn't have the money to pay for us. And I just remember just running around for like 5 minutes and being like, and I looked up. We were in front of the place. We just ran around the corner. But yeah, when we were kids, I don't hate on those kids for really any of it. You know, even like I hate on Chipotle for not believing their employee or just taking the PR angle and firing the chick. But the kids, look, they're trying to get some free food. Then they're in a culture where everyone's trying to fucking go viral for some shit. You know what I'm saying? So like they're almost like a victim of that. They're just fucking stupid kids. And they do. You know, they didn't probably even really expect for it to really go viral. And then the shit gets fired. They're trying to get views on their dumb YouTube video.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if I was a black kid, I'd go around and be like, yo, see how many white people I can get fired.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty sick.
That's like a good reality TV show, I feel like.
You can do that, though. It's great. White people just have to take it. After the Starbucks thing, the black guy that would just go into Starbucks and be like, yeah, white person, you got to give me free coffee now. And they're like, do we? They're like, yeah, it's a new policy.
And they're like, yeah,
you
got to
give me free coffee. You're like, oh, I guess I do now. It's like, yeah, look at this white bitch. She's giving me free coffee. And she's on video. It's great. I love it. I have no problem with it. I really have no problem with that at all. It's the problem is these businesses that create policy with politics in mind, which is kind of silly. It's kind of silly. I don't think you need to go and try to angle politically and try to fucking appeal. If when, a company that does that, it makes me not want to go there. Now, if anybody was as convenient as Starbucks, I would switch. But I don't have real morals. So I'll continue to go to Starbucks.
Right, I'm glad we got
Starbucks
to that.
Starbucks is more convenient than Dunkin' Donuts, or you have like a view that Dunkin' Donuts is like trash?
Yeah, I'm not garbage.
I truly love Dunkin' Donuts way more. Starbucks is the slowest
place.
Now
I'm not going to be friends with you.
I saw someone on her cell phone talking to a friend while working at Starbucks. Like making this, I mean, how slow?
I saw that recently too. I saw somebody, they had earbuds on listening to music.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, just there's always like 8 people back there, and like the things that they pour out of look dirty. It doesn't.
Yeah, but Dunkin' Donuts you think looks good.
Cleaner, yeah. Honestly. Because they don't have so many pitchers back there because they don't make the most.
They have Indian
advanced
people
with
dirty fingers.
Indian people that are working their goddamn tails off.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Why would Indian people have dirtier fingers than
have you ever seen Slumdog Millionaire?
They're not in India.
It's a gross culture. Go watch that movie. You'll see what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
She's never seen the movie. That's the problem.
When you're in the
Have you seen the movie,
Corinne? Yes, I have seen the movie.
What happens?
What do you, I mean, like...
I'm kidding. Go. Continue. Say what you're saying.
It's an Indian coming of age story.
Yeah. I am kidding, obviously. I don't think that any people have dirtier fingers than Americans.
Wow, this show's really gone PC.
Yeah, really, it really has. I'm trying to fucking...
What are you trying to do?
They probably do have dirtier fingers.
Not on the hand they wipe with.
What do you want me to say?
Do you have a TV deal in the works? What is the
new
is scaring me, actually.
No, I don't. I mean, look, Indian people, you know, if you had to suck on the fingers of a person, be honest about this, Corinne. You don't know the person. It's random. You got to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
White guy or Indian guy? You got to suck on his fingers.
Oh, God.
Exactly. You know the fucking answer.
Well, it might be the Indian guy with the long fingernails that keeps him in
his head. I mean, I would have to look at them. And like, if it is like a young Indian guy and an old white guy, because I would do young.
You get no details. And you would do young. I would never do young.
Toddler.
Younger guys. No, toddlers are fine. Their moms
old,
are clean.
Like, I would old suck guy? The shit out of like a kid's 80? Hand.
I'd rather
any kid. I'd suck their hands.
There he is.
Look at that guy.
I would rather suck the fingers of an older.
God, I've seen that before. That's gross.
A 19-year-old or a 70-year-old, you would rather suck the fingers of a 19-year-old?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Nope. I'll tell you why. 19-year-olds are dirty as fuck.
Because they're jerking off a lot?
They're jerking off a lot. They're not cleaning themselves as much. I was much dirtier at 19 than I am now.
How old are you now?
36.
Oh.
I'm a much more clean person. My balls are better. My fingernails are much cleaner. You know, 19-year-old me was fucking...
70-year-old, though, that's like... Probably not bathing as much.
Yeah, it's like they can't reach places shower. On their body anymore.
Oh, yeah, my grandma Rose, doggy.
Yeah, they stink.
Dude, her fingernails were like caked and shit. She didn't care. Ugh. She just put her hands up her ass.
Oh,
she was gross. That was the one that used to call me the N-word. That's the one that I feel like she's gave me carte blanche to use the N-word.
She called you the N-word?
Yeah, yeah, grandma Rose.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you are part black?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a weird dynamic.
Also that's one way to say it. You're a racist fucking grandma.
I learned a lot about Lewis that I didn't know in the past several years, and so now I have empathy.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, now what'd she you feels learn bad for me? You. Now she pities you.
Well, I mean, you had a very rough start.
Yeah.
And so I take that into account when you go off the handle.
I'm fine. I'm on the handle right now.
No, now you are. That's very recent, though. But even in the past like year or so, once I learned that, I was like, I understand why I would be angry, too.
The fact is,
I was abused
by women.
Yes.
Nonstop my whole childhood. And now, I barely hate women. The fact that I'm sitting next to one right now, we're cool.
Oh, thank you.
My lovely lady.
You actually seem like you treat your girlfriend very nice.
I treat every girlfriend really nice. That's why I'm saying I didn't fucking beat up my girlfriend, you psycho. Stop telling my girlfriend that I beat up my girlfriends.
I didn't. Number one, the person in question I didn't know was your girlfriend. I thought it was just someone you were fucking
around with.
And number two, I didn't know that she was reporting back. I thought it was a nice girl-on-girl friendly comic thing to do.
Girl-on-girl, fuck yeah, doggy.
Now I know never to do that again. So we're learning a lot today.
Yeah,
including what the Gettysburg Address is about.
Maybe take into account that if you don't know this person, that it's just a random fucking person that could be trying to fuck with me because they know you have a big platform and would maybe possibly go and fucking try to tell that story. Mm. Maybe possibly. That's
I wasn't suspicious of people at that time the way I am now.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You're right. That's the one
thing
you said.
I thought I actually had friends in comedy. Now I know that I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. There's like five people who I would actually trust.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even have anything to give anyone.
Yeah, I like dating comics now because it's like almost so like public that it's like I think people find out like that I'm a good boyfriend and like kind of a gentleman and they're like, wait, what? You know, like really?
Oh, because it's a TMI culture, so they're gonna yap about whatever happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, because when I'm dating fucking private bitches, then it's all like, oh, I bet Lewis beats the shit out of his girlfriends all the time. That's like a common theme and joke amongst people. Like, yeah, Lewis beats up his girlfriends. Like, where the fuck is this coming from?
Because your girlfriends? What are you talking about? It sounds like it's coming from a girlfriend.
That's not. It's one fucking crazy bitch.
Oh my God.
One crazy bitch that's out there that.
She got CTE from the time she got put to the table.
I mean, this bitch was fucking.
Was it belly to belly or what'd you do?
Doggy.
How'd you do it?
Doggy, this bitch used to literally.
Awesome bum.
Dude, it was this scene from Fear where she literally. I remember she was sort of scratching her neck. And going like, and she told me, she's like, I'm calling the cops and telling me you beat the shit out of me. And she went out into the rain It was like storming and rain, and I was freaking out. And I called the cops. I was like, my girlfriend, she's saying that I beat the shit out of her. She's gonna call you guys and say that. And they're like, yeah, we don't have any calls, sir. And I'm like, cool, because you know I was just kidding. Like, I was like freaking out because this is like she threatened to kill my dog. It was nuts.
That's terrible. Well, yeah. Unfortunately, the police don't really care about domestic abuse. So
yeah,
like the
they do.
Nah, not as much as other things. Like if you call because you have to like get more clearance to get past that. Like it's not like, oh, someone robbed a convenience store.
Ah, right.
Yeah, well, I mean, like if you look at the statistics that like for young women, like domestic abuse is like the number one killer.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess maybe you're right. I don't know. I never really looked into it.
It's
that
really
much.
High.
What about texting and driving?
Like one.
Seems like a young girl death.
Oh, God. Really? You think? Oh, gosh. That's sad.
What?
That's sad.
What is?
Yeah, no. I bet I'm it's up there. What,
give me the numbers.
Believe you.
Domestic
I don't
abuse
know. I'm just for guessing.
Killers of young women, domestic abuse versus texting and driving. Let's see.
Yeah, because death, I don't know. Like, the statistic for actual abuse, not death included, is 1 in 4 American women.
Because if that's
will
the case,
be abused by a partner.
Do Indian burns count?
Do what?
What type of abuse
Indian
are we talking
burns?
Where you no, get qualified?
like a strangle, a punch. A knife?
I would bet you. It's debatable that texting and driving is comparable. Drunk driving, I bet, is another killer of young people.
Drunk driving, 100%, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you're on the wrong cause right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you fucking let it go? Because domestic violence isn't that bad.
It's only third or fourth on the list. And then, to be honest with you, if it's cell phone use, technically you could be responsible for more young girl deaths than some abusers, considering how popular your podcast is.
You know what? You're right.
How do most people listen to podcasts, Corinne?
On their phone.
Goddamn fucking right. Uh-oh. They do.
Case closed.
Corinne Fisher murdering young women.
I rest my case.
At a higher rate than domestic abuse.
Sound
this is what we learned today. It's
New York Post headline.
It's a good one.
It's right. This is the headline right up there with the guy about to die on the subway track. So we're just neck and neck. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, what was that?
That was years ago. You don't remember that? That traumatized me.
No.
Okay, so there was a New Yorker got in a fight with a homeless guy, and the homeless guy pushed him on to the tracks, and the subway killed him. And there's a journalist photo that was on the cover, I believe, the Post, some trash rag. So I'm pretty sure it was the Post, and it was like, this man is about to die. Ooh. So instead of like trying to help him, he took a photo of
Bedford
it.
Bedford Ave, right? It was the L, definitely.
Yeah, I don't remember which one.
I remember tweeting, thank God it was somebody that lived in Williamsburg and getting a bunch of people shitting on me.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my God, what a terrible photo.
It is like, I tweet shit like that all the time, and you realize, like, dude, there's somebody's like brother or like sister that like reads this, and they're like, there's no way they're not taking it personally. Like, it's such a fucking, but, you
of
know.
Course, but I mean, like, you shouldn't be on Twitter the day after your relative gets hit by the subway. You're going to see stuff
also,
you don't like.
Yeah, you should also assume that somebody probably made some horrible joke about it.
Of course
That's
they
part
did.
Of the,
yeah.
What were you going to say, Harrington?
At MTA, frowny face.
the number of text deaths in 2017, 263. The number of domestic violent deaths was 72.
Really? That seems low.
Five times more of an issue texting. Now, if you look, guys, we didn't text. Maybe we can name the show that.
No one's ever done a spoof on the title
both
before.
We text and drive.
Me?
Yeah.
I
and
don't.
You,
no,
only one of us.
I don't drive. I drive download numbers.
What?
I said I drive download numbers. I just said those words. Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good. I'm glad you didn't hear what I said.
What'd you say? What shitty joke did you make? Did we shitty joke at the same time?
Yeah, we did.
What was yours? I want to know.
I said, because the numbers are doubled for texting and driving, because everybody texts and drives. Like, everybody at this table probably does that, but only one person here domestically abuses.
Oh, I get it. I get
oh,
it.
God,
so the
I
numbers
it.
Are...
I truly
yeah,
do.
But how
I don't
many
drive
of those texts were saying, I'm sorry to their boyfriend?
Maybe those texts, yeah, if they would have gone through, they wouldn't get the old fucking DA.
I don't domestic abuse. Shannon, do I domestic abuse?
DA.
Tell the truth.
No, physically, no. I don't think that you do.
She said physically,
thank
no.
You. Thank you very much. What, verbally, emotionally?
Yeah.
I've talked about this many times. If you're not emotionally abusing the person you're with, you're not in love. Just walk away from that relationship.
You know what? Actually, I agree with your stance on that. I think all relationships include some form of emotional
manipulation.
Abuse.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? You need to, if you want to go to the
not
fucking...
Not purposefully, but yeah.
I'm not saying like you need to manipulate somebody into fucking, you know, giving their life away to you. I'm saying like manipulation and, you know, you know what, you know this person really intimately, okay, on a very, very deep level. So you know what pushes their buttons. And when you're hurt and you want to push their buttons, you use that information in order to do it. And that's emotional abuse. What do you want me to
say? That's what I did to you, Lewis.
Of course.
We were basically dating. Oh my God.
I know you're attracted to me.
So good to be here.
Listen, we're gonna wrap up in a few minutes. I'm glad that we were able to put everything aside, but let's get some scams going because Tommy Dreamer's in the studio. I'm very excited about Tommy Dreamer's podcast, which is starting on the network, starting this Friday. ECW legend, come on.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, huge.
I know ECW. I used to date a guy who really liked wrestling.
I'll tell him that Tommy Dreamer's doing a podcast now. He's going to be very excited about
it.
He
won't respond to my text.
Okay. So, because you emotionally abused him, probably. He would say that, right?
I don't think
you
so.
You definitely strike me as someone who can emotionally abuse.
Really? I'm capable of it, but I really don't do it. I just like to don't like to talk to people I'm with.
Do you hit guys?
Cold.
Do you hit
I'm
guys
super
that you're
cold.
With?
That's yeah, accurate, yeah.
Do what? You ever hit guys that you're with when you get like mad?
Only one time in college, I threw a Converse sneaker at my boyfriend because he wouldn't get out of my bunk bed in the dorm room.
You heard it here first.
Sounds hot.
It's a DA.
I've talked about that publicly before.
It's all good.
But no, that's
my girlfriend beat the shit out of me yesterday. We were playing Fortnite and I kept on killing her. And every time I'd kill her, she'd punch me harder and harder. And she's trying to fucking knuckle me in the side of my head. And it's on camera. It's on fucking whatever the streaming is.
But isn't that like playful abuse?
Twitch. No, it hurts. She's actually trying to hurt me. It's not playful. It's not cute. I'm actually calling for help right now. So if anybody knows how to get a crazy Puerto Rican bitch out of your house. All right, let's get some scams. We're going to end today's show with Scam That Jew.
I'm a very desperate man. I live with my mother.
We did that one last time. We have a
scam. What the fuck is happening on this show?
We have a segment where we teach our fans to scam as Jews scam because it's very pro-Israel. It's a Jew positives segment.
Got it.
Correct.
Got it.
So, Shannon, what do we got going on here?
Okay, the first one is from Samuel. What up, doggies? So my scam is pretty simple. Fitbit watches are stupidly expensive.
I want one, by the way. My ears are fucking perked right now, doggy.
Okay, it says some go for $300 to $400, but if you're willing to commit to this scam, all you have to do is buy one watch. Create an account, wear the thing for a few weeks to show that there is activity. Then call up Fitbit and tell them the band on the watch is broken. They'll send you another one, no questions asked. I've done this at least 8 times. I've given them as gifts sold them on eBay. I've made my money back for the first payment of the watch and some. Then the hiccup is they don't send a charger when they send the new watch, but that's only $15 on Amazon. Keep scamming.
So hold on. But you buy it and then give it away, but you got to keep on buying it. They don't give you...
He's saying to say that the band broke or something, and they'll see that you actually did use it, and then they'll just send you a new watch, I guess.
It's one new watch.
He's saying he's selling them the new ones.
Because then you
can
two.
Keep doing it, yeah. You can keep saying your band broke, they're saying. And instead of just sending a band, they're sending an entire watch.
I don't know if that would work, actually. I don't know that you can that they would not keep track of the one you had. I feel like it would only work for one watch.
He said he did it multiple times.
How? Can somebody explain how this works?
No, I get what you're saying, because then you'd have to sign it up again, and then they can tell you using both.
It's fine that he's saying that. Yeah. He could be a fucking liar. He could be scamming me out of a free Scam That Jew t-shirt. Do you want to see the t-shirt? I'll give you a free one, Corinne. You're one of the only people I've ever offered one for for not providing a winning Scam That Jew segment.
Got
this week.
It.
Show them the shirt right now. It's one of the best shirts in podcasting.
I have a scam, actually, that I learned. Oh, my God.
You're the back.
I'm going to give that to my family for Hanukkah.
That's a nose.
Jesus Christ.
That's a nose on the back right there.
Oh my God.
So what's your scam, Corinne?
This I actually learned from another comic. You can go to like a Marshall's or something, buy a hair dryer, and then if it breaks, you can return the broken one and then you get 100% money back. Like you just put a broken hair dryer. So like if your hair dryer at home breaks, you go, you buy a new one, and then you go home, put the broken hair dryer in it, and return it to like a Marshall's or whatever. And then you have a new hair dryer at home, and then you also get the money. So you got a free hair dryer.
You get a free hair dryer. All right, free hair dryer scam. It's not bad. It's very specific.
Some hair dryers are really expensive, though.
I'm finding it hard to give you the t-shirt for a hair scam, considering how bald
I've never.
You know,
I think that would work with any like appliance type thing.
Yes, probably, exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
an appliance.
Let's go more
scam.
Broad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Broken things. I mean, then the other. I mean, you could really get into it. So this is, people have talked about this before. So you could buy something broken, right? You could literally just buy a broken whatever.
I'd like to return my relationship with my son's mother.
You could buy a broken whatever and like on eBay, then go return it, purchase it, return it, get the money back. And then the new one that you get, go and resell on eBay and actually get decent money for it. So there's a way you can actually turn that scam into some cash if you have the time. It's actually not really that bad of an idea. That's a good job right there.
Broken stuff. I mean, there's a lot of scams that I think you are just basically relying on the ineptness of people who are working at these establishments. And you can pretty much across the board always count on that.
Of course. Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's like a million little ones. Yeah, I agree. Like, this Crin's holiday season is a good one now.
People that work minimum wage are inept losers.
They really are.
Crin's right. The lower class is worthless.
Listen, I was working at a spa just a couple years ago for like $10 an hour, and had I wanted to run any scams, there was plenty that I could have run.
Yeah. Of course, or, I always run them.
Or I could have been inept about them.
Holiday season, Black Friday's coming up, right? Monday, call Macy's and tell them you lost a pair of Beats headphones. And then if they find any pair of Beats headphones and the lost and found, boom, you got a free pair of Beats headphones. Or anything, really anything that they would find. Any large department stores where there's thousands and thousands of people coming through, the chances are you'll probably pick up some cool lost and found stuff.
So that's your scam? Go to the fucking scam, lost and found?
Yeah. It's a fucking solid scam. Why are you looking at me like that, Shane? You think you're better than me because you fucking played D1 football, bitch?
I quit right away.
I don't play with balls like a girl. Sorry, Corinne. Shannon, next scam.
Okay. Next one's from Ronnie. This scam works for concerts in arenas with tiered seating and general admission floor. The more people you have going to the concert, the better. Say if you have a group of four, have three people buy the cheapest nosebleed seats and one person buy a floor ticket, evenly splitting the cost between everyone, and print multiple copies of the floor ticket. Everyone uses their nosebleed ticket to gain entry to the venue, and when you walk down to the floor...
They only look at it. They don't scan it. Yeah. Smart.
That's a great scam.
Smart fucking scam. And
they will scan it. They will scan it, but, you know... As long as you're not doing it all one and right after each other, it's gonna be
It'll look like you walked in and walked back out to like go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah,
that's great.
A fucking dope scam right there. This doggy somebody got a t-shirt.
I got a good stadium scam.
What's your scam, buddy?
I was at a Tennessee South Carolina football game, and I was standing there, and I noticed that the handicap section was just right in front of me, which was on the field.
Yeah,
stepped right over.
just stood there.
All you have to do is have a blank stare. You can walk. All you got to do is have
the face of a handicapped person.
Yeah, that's also all my scams with stealing too.
Yeah,
like I wear high waisted sweatpants. You can walk out with anything.
Yeah.
If they catch you, you're just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But if you walk out, you're free. And they're not going to watch. They're going to look at security footage and laugh. They're not going to be like,
yeah. Well, if you take the fucking...
If anything, they're going to hire you as a greeter.
Yeah. It's delightful.
If you press charges on a gigantic Down syndrome baby, you're a bad person. Nobody would do that. That's a great idea. I'm going to bring you to... We should rob a bank together, dude. You're the guy that fucking goes up with a fucking water gun.
I end up stealing all the lollipops.
Shit. All right, last scam, Shannon. What do we got here? That's going to be hard to top. I like that stadium really one.
That's
stadium
one, yeah.
One's dope. Go ahead.
This is from Jordan. My pops told me this one when I was a kid. You and a buddy go to a diner, you order a soda, and your buddy orders a full meal. When the checks come, your buddy takes the soda check up to the register, pays the $2, and leaves. A few minutes later, you go up to the register with the full meal check, but explain to the lady that the other guy paid the wrong bill. No way they'll make you pay for a full meal if you only drank a soda. I know you guys hate scams with acting involved, but this one's just a simple misunderstanding explanation, and you're good to go. You meet up with your buddy down the street, go to another diner, reverse the roles, and you both get full meals for the price of a soda. Please use my nickname, Grim, if you choose to read this. Oh, I guess I shouldn't have said his name.
Didn't want that one getting out there.
I mean, that's a bit much. You're
yeah, I don't have one friend that would wait for
yeah,
me
I was
to
like,
eat
it's
a meal.
Like $12 for like 2.5 hours of your life.
Yeah.
You got to watch him fucking eat a meal because you're hungry. Dude, I can't wait to get Applebee's down
can't
the
wait
road.
Till it's my turn. And as soon as I got done eating, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not doing that
yeah,
for
and
you,
then explain
dude.
Explain to a waitress why your friend treats you like a bitch.
I also don't think that would work at a diner. Greeks are tough people. Like, I don't think that's like, they're not, you can't.
No, they're like, cool, all
right. Grin, you're exactly right. Greeks are stingy, dirty people.
You can't do that at a diner. I'm from Jersey. I know diner culture.
Oh, fuck me.
That's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the winner this week has to be
that's
the stadium skin.
That's so good. I want to use it.
Why have I never thought of this? That is a great, solid fucking scam.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's going to go up into the history books with LifeProof, because the problem with, or it's going to be better than LifeProof, because they'll never get ahead of that scam. There's no way to get ahead of it. How do you get ahead of it?
You have to start making people scan at floor level. And like.
But what happens if they go out and get a soda? What do you do? There's no way. There's no getting ahead of it.
Good track. I don't know. Yeah.
There's big things of getting ahead of it. Comic-Con's ahead of it.
How?
Because the pass has a chip in it, and it can tell if you walked back out.
Yeah, but...
Because when we used to do Comic-Con, yeah, but here's we the had thing. Like four That's passes.
Not, but listen. This is, it's very specifically a concert, and to, not to get back in. It's to get down to a general admission. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say general admission sold out, right? Or it's fucking way more expensive. You can get fucking shitty nosebleed seats, right, for $20. General admission on the floor of the fucking garden for 150, right? You come with five people. One person has to buy the ticket. You have those copies. You just get a nice, you do actually do a nice job. You get good cardstock. And then when you come down, all you're doing is you're flashing that ticket to the people that are on the lower levels. They don't give a fuck.
I don't think you even need good cardstock if it's a printed home ticket.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's the reality is you don't. You're right. I'm thinking like Ticketmaster right now. You literally could just print it on a sheet of fucking paper and make a copy of it.
Or you could just do screenshots if you're doing digital too, because yeah. You can push those, like, you know, like if you, same if you have like a Delta pass, like, and multiple people can have them even though the scan wouldn't work.
How am I so dumb and I've never thought of this? This seems so logical once it's right in front of you. All right, this guy wins. Ladies and gentlemen, your winner of this week's Scam That You Show. What's his name, Shannon?
Ronnie.
Scam That Show. Good job, Ronnie. We really appreciate your contribution to the show.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it's been great. All right, look, that's it. That's the show. Thank you so much, Shane Gillis, Corinne Fisher. Corinne, we got heated there for a moment. We kept our composure. We didn't fucking let it get the best of us.
You didn't even annoy me at all.
Really?
No.
So
that's an annoying comment. That would fucking bother me.
I said it. I purposely said it to him.
Yeah, hell yeah. You're good at that. Yeah.
No. You. Corinne, you're awesome, and I'm glad you guys are very successful, and I'm glad you guys are doing great things. So you guys sold out a bunch of shows in Chicago, which is fucking incredible.
Your tour's going great, too.
Well, thank you very much. I know. I was really just waiting for you to say that back to me. Guys, Houston, Friday night. Make sure you get your fucking tickets at Luis J. Gomez Presents, LuisJGomez.com. Right now, motherfuckers, me and Kim Congdon celebrating Thanksgiving down in Houston. It's going to be hot, right? I don't know. Hot in Texas always? It is, right? You're out.
Definitely.
Warm.
Perfect. All right, guys. We'll check you on Wednesday. Peace.
C'est la vie. Adios. Good riddance. Fuck you.
That's all, folks.
Okay, thanks for listening to the show. Here at Gas Digital, we have 22 incredible podcasts on the network, and one of my favorite personalities on the network is Michael Malice. He's got a great show called You're Welcome, which we started with a few months ago. It is a very, very funny show that is political-based. If you guys are a fan of Dave Smith and Part of the Problem, I think you're going to really like Michael Malice as well. So check out this clip, and if you like it, please go subscribe to You're Welcome with Michael Malice.
People often talk about this mythical Bill Clinton charisma. Is this something you have ever met in somebody else? Was it that off the charts, or was it, you know, just charismatic but not?
Oh, it was off the charts. It was off the charts. He was so engaging. He knew exactly what he was doing, but I didn't.
Right.
Yeah, he was so engaging.
So have you ever met anyone else who has that air of charisma about them since?
No.
Oh, so it really is that kind of extreme.
Right, right. But I mean, we were sort of just in awe that he would come to my nursing home and then that he would actually want to speak to me about our problems. So I told him, yeah, we'll be down there in about 3 weeks. I'm bringing my director of nursing and we're coming down. He said, well, just call my campaign office when you get here and let's make a point to get together. So on April the 24th, 1978, my nurse and I drive to Little Rock. The next morning when we get up, we call his campaign headquarters, and the lady gives me a phone number to call, so I call that number. He answers the phone almost immediately, and he says, and I tell him, I say, I'm here. I brought the information. Can we talk to you today? I said, we have an hour for lunch. And he said, no, I'm not going to be in my office today. He said, why don't I come to your hotel now and we can talk about it? And I thought, man, that's great. You know, I won't have to drive clear across town and he'll come over here. So he said, I'll call you and we'll meet in the hotel coffee shop, the Camelot coffee shop. He said, I'll call you when I get there so you can come down.
And you didn't think anything of it because this is clearly a professional relationship talking about political issues. And it's just like a job. If someone had a job interview and said, hey, let me follow up with your job, meet me at the coffee shop, the hotel, you're not going to think this is going anywhere. You think, okay, we're already discussing business. This is going to, and politics, and something that will help my work. Yeah, okay. So that's the context.
I was excited that, you know, I may get some help. So anyway, I turned to Norman. I say, you go on to the meeting. And when I finish in the coffee shop, I'll come right on to the meeting. So she leaves, goes downstairs to the meeting, and I wait in the room for his call that he's here. I probably should have, on second thought, should have just gone on down and waited. But I did like he said. I waited in the room until he got there. He calls my room and he says, you know, Juanita, there's just so many people down here. It's crowded and there's even reporters. Can we just talk about this in your room and have coffee there? And I'm sure it sort of took me back a little bit. I'd never been alone in a hotel room with a man I didn't know. And I said, okay. I mean, he was the attorney general. So Norman leaves.
Wait, let me ask you quickly. So do you think at that point, obviously you don't know what someone else is thinking. Do you think he gave a damn about the nursing homes? Or do you think this was just his way to get into your hotel room by yourself?
It's just his way to get into my hotel room. Yeah, I have absolutely no doubt now. Absolutely none. Okay, then I order coffee to the room. And as soon as they leave, it makes me wonder if he was standing out in the hallway waiting for those people to leave so they wouldn't see him.
Oh, wow.
Almost as soon as they leave, he knocks on the door. And I go to the door. And Michael, there he stands in a dimly lit hallway with dark sunglasses on.
Oh.
And that, I remember that being a little wearisome, you know. But anyway, I usher him on in. He walks in.
Yeah, wait, it's dimly lit. It's during the, I mean, there's no reason for sunglasses in a hallway that's dark. Unless
know,
you're trying to cover yourself. Right. Okay. So it was clearly, he had some ulterior.
I heard later after that he went everywhere in his calls or whatever he was doing with sunglasses on.
Okay.
He wore them all the time.
Okay.
So anyway, he comes in, takes off his sunglasses, lays his coat across the chair. And so I go to the table. It's just a large round table over by the window. And he walks around from me to the other side of the table by the bed. And so I started to pour the coffee. And he says, come here just a minute. I want to show you this little building down here. And so I stop what I'm doing and I walk around to that side of the table. And he starts to point to a little building down below on the Arkansas River. And it was a little old building that was in very much disrepair. And he said, but as he pointed, Michael, he puts his arm around me, sort of around my shoulder to point at it. And I sort of back up from him. But as I do, he's explaining it's an old 1800 jailhouse that he wants to restore when he becomes governor. So I just nod or say, okay, and start to walk back around the table to where my information in the coffee is.
Well, hold on. So when he's telling you about this, were you finding it interesting at all? Or you were like, why are you telling me this?
No, I was scared because he put his arm around my shoulder.
Oh, I see. Okay, now he broke that physical contact barrier. So now it's got the energy has kind of shifted.
Yeah. And I'm backing up. So I start to walk around the table and away from his arm. And that's when he grabs me and pulls me back. And then I tell him, no, you know, no, I don't want that at all. And that's when I try to go around again. And that's when he grabs me and tries to start kissing me. And then that's probably the first time I started screaming or yelling. And then he starts pushing me backwards to the bed And I'm screaming
hold on.
Hold
a second. Which was more disturbing, the fact that you're physically being grabbed or psychologically that it has shifted so quickly from a business meeting, nursing home, to I'm under attack?
All of the above. Okay. I felt like I was falling backwards as he was pushing me. And then when he finally pushed me onto the bed, he's tearing at my clothing. I mean, the descriptions in my book, it was the most frightening thing in the world. And I start to scream again. And that's when he's on top of me and he's biting on my upper lip. Every time I let out a whimper or a yell, he begins to bite on my upper lip. And it's not just little bites, it's big bites. And it's scared me to death. And I thought, I can't breathe. He's biting on my lip. You know, I was scared to death.
Yes,
I thought I was going to die.
Yes. Psychologically, it must be the same adrenaline response as you don't know if you're getting assaulted or murdered. Like you don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. I couldn't grasp what was happening at all. And then after the assault, I was just like a body. You know, I sat up on the side of the bed and I started crying. I was crying during the whole time and telling him no. But here I am trying to gather the covers around my exposed body, and he just gets up and he sort of straightens himself. And he's looking at me and he's bewildered, he's frustrated, and I'm just sobbing. You know, my lip is hurting and I feel my lip and it's swollen. I mean, it's huge. And he just looks at me and he says, the most strange thing, he says, don't worry, I'm sterile. I had mumps when I was a kid.